This is a test of the Boundary Park Alert System.
Hello and welcome to episode 35 of this season's Boundary Park Alert System with me, Matt Dean and Andy Halliwell. It is the Squad Pod, the last podcast of the season. Hello, Andy.
Hi, mate.
one more to do.
Yeah, this is
barring, you know, any emergency pods that need to come out, you know, but in normal time, this is it. This is the last one. So we've made it. We've limped over the line this season as a club. Yesterday, we lost to Wheelstone again.
Oh, did you go?
Yeah, I went, yeah.
Yeah.
I went out of like kind of habit as much as anything. It was the last game. I was going to go. I wanted to just, you know, see, because we obviously got the podcast today as well. So just to be there, paid very little attention to the game. The atmosphere was really flat. Lots of people didn't show up, including the players again, obviously. It was just a non-event. Wheelstone needed the points to stay up. Deserved the win, and it was just a non-event really yesterday. And then a lot of people left before the end. A few people were booing. I understand frustration. We all have different ways of dealing with it. We all have different ways of, you know, we all think that different people are accountable and all that. So, you know, it was a bit of a mixed bag, a bit of a weird one yesterday. I mean, there was a lot of Atleticos missing. Very, very little attempt to get any kind of an atmosphere going from the beginning. Little bit when like the goals went in and things like that. But yeah, it was very, very subdued, very strange. And just, yeah, there's a lot of questions looming about the state of the club, I guess, and what's going to happen next season. But I think one thing that most of us are pretty much agreed on is we're all glad it's over.
I still look back to that opening game of the season away at Southend, and yeah. I can still feel how unbelievably disappointed I was that we were starting off like that, because I kind of knew. I think we all knew, didn't we? I know it's only one game, yeah. Right? And you can, you know, but you kind of knew that if a team that had had no pre-season, about 14 professionals, had the pitch looked after, had no training facilities, were turning us over 4-0 the only game of the season, you knew it was going to be our long, hard slog, didn't you? Right? And yeah. So that train journey back from Southend on the opening weekend, I remember just looking out the window thinking, Christ alive. and it's turned out exactly as it looked, didn't it, on that opening game?
Yeah, and this is the thing. I mean, look, there's lots of probably different reasons. We try and be balanced on this podcast. We try and say, look, it's not all one person's fault. It's not entirely, you can't keep going back over time and blame such and such and such and such for, you know, it was this owner and that. We've been over it all. We are where we are. So it's a situation that needs to be dealing with in the here and now. Ultimately, the situation on the pitch at the end of the season is the responsibility of Mickey Mellon. At the beginning of the season, it was the responsibility of David Unsworth. You know, we've had players, you know, the players that are in the squad now, some were signed by Shez, some were signed by Unsworth, some were signed by Steve Thompson, some were signed by Mickey Mellon, whatever.
Were signed by Keith Curl.
Keith Curl, I thought I was going to say it, but I wasn't sure if I was correct. But Hallam Hope, yeah, signed by Keith Curl.
Harrison McGuire as well. Both signings of Keith. So it just shows you, doesn't it? Like, you know, if you're to correct the recruitment, you're going to have to do it over 2-3 transfer windows, which is why you give a manager a 3-year deal, don't you? Or 2-3 year deal, because you want to give them time to build that, because you can't just correct it in one transfer window. No. It's just that we had a spectacularly bad transfer window last summer, didn't we? You know, we've basically moved from, what did we get last season? 61 points, finishing 12th, to 63 points, finishing 10th, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
We haven't got any better. So, you know, we've wasted, in effect, two transfer windows and not improved at all, or tiny amount. That's not good, really.
No, that's the thing. And, the, you know, there's reading all kinds of comments and opinions, and some are more valid than others, let's just say. But, like, you know, people saying we've gone backwards. We haven't gone backwards. I think
what
you said there is we've not gone forwards either. we've not gone anywhere. We are in pretty much where we were. I guess there's an argument to say we've gone backwards insofar as we've, on paper, we're supposed to have better players and they've not produced anything like what they were supposed to have had. So it's, I guess you, there is an argument for that in sort of like in real terms, if you like. But it's been incredibly frustrating. And I think that we have to talk about Mickey Mellon's interview yesterday. Because I think, you know, that's the last interview of the season from him. What did you make of it?
Well, I think that he has every right to tell people to stuff it a bit, because he's getting dogs abuse from the main stand. You could hear it yesterday from, you know, there's no commentary. You could hear the dogs abuse. And we are, you know, we have an element of our fan base, which is, you know, they're already on him, sack him, you know, similar people that were saying sack Unsworth, sack him, he's no good and all that sort of stuff. And you got pelters for saying you didn't think Mickey Mellon was the future of Oldham Athletic, didn't you? at the time, based on a hunch or a gut feel, but you were getting pelters at that time. I think you can't argue with a man's CV, right? He's been recruited based on achievement, and you've got to give him time to do that. It's like this time last year, David Unsworth just ended up like on a run of form, which would have seen us in the playoffs from Christmas to the end of the year. Admittedly, the football wasn't pretty, but he deserved the summer. I think Mickey Mellon deserves the summer. He doesn't deserve it from March onwards, but he's deserved it over the course of time he's been here since, what, last October or whenever it was. He's earned the right to try and sign some better players in the summer and make us a more competitive outfit, because he has been a bit hit and miss with his own recruitment. But, you know, the likes of Josh Stones was a great pick from Wigan's reserves, and you know, Tom Conlon's been bitterly disappointing, but I'd like to see what he can get out of him next season with maybe some better players around him. So he's earned the right, and what he's telling fans who are getting on the back, moaning, whinging, whining, gnarly, horrible, nasty stuff, whether it's on social media, whether it's in the terraces, well, on the terraces, where it's anywhere else, you're not helping, basically. And he's trying to tell you you're not helping, because this is already a big enough job for him to turn around, and everyone just bitching and getting everyone's back just making it harder, isn't it?
Look, we've said it for a long time. A lot of there's behaviour of some of our fans is embarrassing. The things that the stuff that comes out of their mouth is embarrassing. I've even seen there's a comment in the Oldham Times a report blaming me and Dave for the situation, because we were, you know, and blaming us. People will turn around and accuse anyone when they're pissed off that they think they'll get a rise out of and stuff like that, because they thought, well, you know. You were up David Unsworth's ass, which is bollocks, obviously. We will, the people come in, we back them, right? We say, look, they're here now, let's give them a chance. There's absolutely no point us giving them shit from day one because things aren't going right. We said that the board will, the club will have to make the right decisions. They are ultimately accountable, right? The club is ultimately accountable, the board are accountable. The club themselves decided that they got the Unsworth appointment wrong, obviously, and they let him go. Now, I like to see people stick to their guns and believe in something, right? But if they think that behind the scenes of whatever, it's not right, it's not working. Same goes for Mickey Mellon. But things don't seem to be, it doesn't seem to be a happy camp. But again, everyone's making assumptions. Everyone's listening to rumours, starting rumours and all that. We don't know. We're not privy to it. I wasn't inspired by that interview from Mellon, because I want him to be, you know, I want him to be honest, but at the same time, I want him to look at, like, at least like he's got some kind of belief that it's going to be a, you know, I want more from a leader is all I'm saying. Now, we're going to go onto the squad and we're going to talk about the players that will be staying or not next season or whatever. Again, it's got absolutely nothing to do with us. It's all down to the club and the manager and the players to figure that out. But I did find it a little bit disheartening that he feels the way he does. I didn't really have a lot of respect for somebody coming out and saying that they don't make excuses and then proceed to make a load of excuses. That's, you know, you either don't make excuses or you make excuses. And, you know, by starting off with a disclaimer that you don't make excuses, that doesn't nullify the excuses that you are actually making. So I was a bit disappointed with that. Players being tired is an absolute nonsense. There's been Halifax and Wheelstone have had all kinds of players.
Do you know what I thought when he said that as well? We looked a bit tired today, but we've got a big squad here and we need to trim it.
I know.
If they're tired, play the ones that are rested.
Exactly. And there was absolutely no excuse. Yeah, playing the same players. That's just stupid in itself. But look, I mean, the thing is, it's frustrating because the reason that we wanted to back Unsworth, it's not because we were best mates with him. Like, you saw all the interactions that we had with him on or listened to him on the podcast. Not like we were texting him and, like, you know what I mean, like talking to him all the time. He was gracious enough to give us the time of day, and we gave him the time of day. And, you know, we said, go on, then do you. We desperately need stability at this football club. Chopping and changing things all the time is not going to do us any good. We know that. Now, that is also dependent on the board and the club bringing in the right people at the right time to do the right jobs. So ultimately, the responsibility is on them. They're two seasons in now, and people want to start seeing success on the pitch. They look at the amount of money that's been spent. We don't know the exact figures, you know, but on players and wages, agent fees, for example, you know, there's obviously money going into it, but it's frustrating when it's not being spent in the right way. And paying managers off is a poor use of funds. You know, paying agents fees, massive agents fees for players that don't perform is a massive waste of funds. Giving players contracts that aren't good enough, long contracts that aren't good enough, is a waste of money. So ultimately, it's the Rothwell's money, but as they have to start spending it wisely. And, you know, so there's obviously going to be internal inquiries as to what's going on and how to fix it. But like you said, turning on people, turning on individuals, giving them dogs abuse, shouting personal insults at them, giving them abuse on social media, whoever it is, it's completely unhelpful. And like I've said it before, the people that give it out are the first people who start to moan and bitch about getting it when they get it back. So it's not helpful. The atmosphere at Boundary Park is very divisive, very mixed. People booing players on and off the pitch. They've been rubbish, I get it, but, like, how does that help? It just feels like we're in a... You know, we've not really moved on from where we were. Like, we're under Abdallah and all that. When we try, you know, all we were trying to do under that time was, you know, rally people to get behind getting them out. Let's try and unite people together. We had some success with that. You're not going to win everybody over. And then we get to this point. People are still, you know, everybody has an opinion, but, you know, people make it harder. Some people make it harder to achieve things than others. You know, sometimes by holding your tongue, I pay my money, I can say what I want. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We know that. We know that argument. We hear it over and over again. But we're not moving forward collectively as a club because of this internal conflict that there is. And I just hate to see it. And I, you know, I don't feel personally responsible for it because I try to be balanced and try to find the good and in things and then be constructively critical about things that I feel need to be addressed. But, you know, frothing at the mouth and shouting and screaming and calling people names it just proves that you're an idiot rather than somebody with any kind of intellect. And I think we need less of that and more of the constructive communication and conversation. And I think that the club can encourage that over the summer or before the next season. Like, you know, I'd love to hear from them, you know, how they feel about how things are going and what they're going to try and do to address it. You know, we've not had a fans forum for a while. There's a lot that needs to be done to try and fix these kind of internal issues that we have, because we still have them, don't we? We're still. It might be that it's always like this. It might. We don't know what it feels like to have a fan base following a successful club, because we haven't had it for so long. So maybe we've just forgotten that it's always like this, regardless of where you are. I don't know.
I'm sure it can be better. Should we get stuck into it or what? Should we get through this squad pod?
Yeah. Let's get on that. Right, I've got off to
Dave's not with us, but I've got his votes in case we need him. Let's go through the goalkeepers now.
Yeah.
What I should say at this juncture is the rules of this. We will circulate a blank sheet for everyone to play along. We think we have 37 first team professionals or people who signed professional contracts that are
all.
And a lot of those were graduates from the academy last year. And I've got a little bit of sort of update on maybe what they've been up to, because you've got a decision to make. But three goalkeepers. We think that Magnus Norman and Matt Hudson are contracted to 2025, and Dan Langley is contracted to 2024. Dan Langley, we signed from Blyth Spartans, having been at Gateshead, come from Newcastle under 21s. He's presently on loan at Scunthorpe. Hudson and Norman, you know of. We've got to get down to 24 players. So we've got 37 in the squad. We've got to get down to 24 players, because coming into the new season, if you looked at the back of Chesterfield's programme the other week, they had less than 24 players on it, right?
Yeah.
24 players maximum, two per position broadly. You've got to get it down to a manageable number so that it's costed, in effect.
You are
allowed to transfer list the player who's under contract, but you cannot pay him up. Right, you might be able to, but you can't just pay him up. You'll have to seek agreement.
Yeah,
you can keep a player, extend a player's contract, or you can release a player whose contract expires in 2024. So it's entirely up to you.
Well, look, so Magnus Norman, Matt, I would keep because he's under contract and we need a backup goalkeeper, and I think that's what he is now. Matt Hudson, I would extend his contract, because I think he's had a very good season and think he's a good goalie at this level. Dan Langley, we know absolutely nothing about. So we need three goalkeepers in the squad. So
do we? Do we though?
I think we do, don't we? We brought in Dan Langley for a reason, didn't we?
Can you not promote a youth? Can you not use a youth goalkeeper or get an emergency month loan in if you absolutely must? I think you might need to think about cutting the budget back and going down to two first line keepers.
Well, I mean, I've put on my sheet release. That's what I put on my sheet, so I'll stick to that.
I would transfer list Magnus Norman, because I think other teams have shown an interest in him, to see if we can get his wages off the books. Matt Hudson, I'd keep and potentially extend contracts. I agree. Dan Langley, I would keep, extend contracts as the backup. So in effect, I'm trying to move Magnus Norman on to make it cheaper. If I look at what Dave's done, Dave has kept Magnus Norman and Matt Hudson, like you, and released Dan Langley. Yeah. So we're going to end up doing what you and Dave want, aren't we?
Well, the thing is that I don't know anything about Dan Langley. And I think that Magnus Norman, look, he's proved himself to be good at times and then, you know, maybe not so good at other times. Is anyone going to come in for him and buy him and take him off the wages? That's all. I don't know. So at least you know where you're at with Norman. At least you know him, and he's been in and around the squad for a while. So if the thing is, he's putting somebody on the transfer list doesn't get rid of him, does it?
It doesn't, no. So we're going to end up releasing Matt Langley then, because that's what you two, Dan Langley, because that's what you two have wanted to do. Okay.
So yeah. And then you've got two contracted first team keepers on your books, and you know, that's what you need, I guess.
Yeah. That's us done on the keepers. Let's have
Well, next on the list is Sai Sachdev, who is gone. So that's okay. We don't need to worry about him.
Yeah. So we're going through the fullbacks now, or players that play fullback. Mark Kitchen.
I've got him. He's under contract till 2025. So I've got him down as keeper.
Now, Dave has transfer listed him.
Right.
And I've not been impressed for a while now with Kitchen.
The thing is, right, this is the thing with this, okay? There's a lot. This is the thing with this. There's a lot of players on this list that you say transfer list, but it ain't gonna. That's not the way it's gonna be. players are under contract, right? So they're going to stay. A lot of the 2025ers are going to stay. That's just my view on it because they can't shift them. That was what Mellon was saying in his interview. You're not going to get rid of them. So I think trying to build your squad around players that, you know, if you get rid of them, you have to bring somebody else in. It's dependent. So I think someone like Kitchen, we know that he is capable and he's in the squad till next season. I don't think anyone's going to take him off your hands. So we haven't got a left back. So we haven't got a replacement. So if we sell him, we're going to have to get, if we get rid of him, we're going to have to get two in. So I think just let him go. Keep him and then move on and tell him to stop bitching about Alex Reid if that really is going on.
Benny Couto. So Benny Couto has been on loan at Ashton United all season.
Yeah,
they're in tier seven, so they're two divisions below us. They were around the playoffs last time I saw. He's played like 25 games, eight a sub, scored three or four goals, couple of assists. Like he's chipped in, but I did know he lost his place in the team. So he started at left back, lost his place in the team, and came back in as a left mid-sided midfielder towards the end.
I've said release on here because he's got a 2024. We need to lighten the load. You could say, yeah, we could offer him a contract. He'd probably be cheap, but I don't know anything about him. We've barely seen him play. So his contract's up. Let him go.
Okay. Oliver Kilner.
No idea who he is. Never seen him play. 2024.
He's been playing at Bury this season on loan. Yeah. Who were in, I don't know, the 10th tier or whatever, something like that. He's played a handful of games for them at centre half and fullback. He's about 19, I think.
Yeah, 2024, let him go.
That's what Dave says as well. So you're going to win on that one. Mo Doro has been on loan at Chadderton for a few games. They're obviously in the seventh tier as well, I think, are they? Or maybe below that. He played in the behind-closed-door friendly against Man United that Alfie Avanson played in. So, you know, maybe they like the look of him.
It's very difficult when you know nothing about these lads to say whether they should stay or go. I mean, it's, you know... My view on this is that we've got a massively overinflated squad, and if people are out of contract, it's probably time to move them on, unless they are a little gem that we know absolutely nothing about. So I'd be more than happy for some of these young lads to be in the squad next year if they're going to play and they're going to get an opportunity and they're good enough. But based on the knowledge that I have, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's time to let them go.
Dave said the same, so my votes are relevant.
What are you saying?
Well, I think there's got to be one or two of these that you're going to keep. And your likes of your Mo Doro and your Alfie Everton, who obviously people have fancied having a look at. I don't know whether there's a few more we're going to come to. Lytton Chapman's been at Chadderton. Fraser Cookson captained Northwich Victoria the other day, age 19.
Yeah.
You know, some of these kids are going to be good. And I would like to see one or two of them kept on as squad players in that 24, fighting for a place against, you know, more seasoned professionals, trying to learn from them. It's pointless getting a load of, you know, 30-odd-year-old players in. We need some kids around them, a bit of youth to run around. So, like you, I'd like to say, I don't know which ones are the ones to keep, but I'd like some of them to stay. And we're going to need cheaper salaries to balance out the budget, aren't we? Will Sutton, what are you doing with Will Sutton?
He's under contract.
He is.
So I would keep him.
Right.
As a centre half, by the way, not a right back.
Yeah, Dave said the same. I'll agree with that. Right, Liam Hogan. Liam Hogan triggered a contract extension to 2025 on appearances.
Yeah.
What do you want to do with Liam Hogan? He's our club captain. What are you doing with the club captain?
I'm going to keep him.
So me and Dave are in agreement here. We're transfer listing him.
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone's going to come in for him. I think he's got. He's one of the more committed players in our squad. I think we do need to keep a spine of the squad. Liam Morgan has played right back, right wing, centre forward, centre half. Like, you know, I don't think you can. I don't think you can fault his commitment and his attitude. So I'd keep him. But if you two want to stick him on the transfer list, by all means.
We are definitely transfer listing him because you've outvoted 2-1. My point of view is we just need better. We're going to need better footballers to get anywhere, and there's going to be a few people like this as we go through it. And just, you know, if we're going to keep the likes of Will Sutton, if you're not going to transfer list Will Sutton or some of the other centre halves, what's the point of collecting 9 centre halves again? Because that's what we're going to end up with, and you can only have 24, so someone's got to go. So I'm saying Liam Hogan. Sean Hobson. What are you doing with Sean Hobson?
Keeping him.
Yeah, I'm keeping him as well. Dave has suggested extending his contract on the basis that he likes the look of him and he thinks he might have a resellable value. That could be worth exploring. Whether he'd agree to that or not, I don't know.
I think we've seen Sean Hobson is what he's potentially capable of, and then we've seen the worst of him as well this season. So I would hold fire on that personally.
Okay. Charlie Raglan.
Yeah, again, I'd keep him.
Yeah, I'd keep him. Dave has suggested extending his contract again. So he thinks he's basically, Dave's saying Raglan and Hobson, the two first choice centre halves, getting rid of Hogan. I'd be more likely to extend Hobson's contract than I would Raglan's, because Hobson's got youth on his side. I think he's probably a more reasonable asset.
This was my thinking. Like, my thinking is between Sutton, Hogan, Hobson, and Raglan, you've got all the centre halves you need there. You've got a mixture of youth and experience. You don't need any more. That, for me, that's your centre half sorted. They're all under contract. Fine. Like, we've got, you know. That's what I think.
This then brings me on to the two genuinely young boys that have been out alone. So Lytton Chapman, Fraser Cookson. I would like to keep one of those. I don't know which one. Let the club decide which one they think is the better prospect, and try and move Liam Hogan on. That's what I'd try and do. It's just pointless losing. There's got to be a player in one of these somewhere.
Yeah, I guess the thing is that you know what you're getting with Liam Hogan. And you don't know that you're going to get the same. You know, I just don't know. He's been there and he's done it at this level, so I think he's. Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, they're under contracts. I think it's going to be hard to move under contract players. You've said we want better.
Well, I think these young lads. I don't know about these young lads. So there was. The Academy News this time last year, the retain list, said that there were 6 players offered deals. It didn't say the length of the deals, and it included Aaron Atkinson, who was later sold to Barnsley, Kofi Moore, Fraser Cooks and Lytton Chapman, a lad called Favour Akeke, I think has gone to play for Stockport, and Jake Forshaw. I think, I don't know whether they're given one-year deals. I'm making an assumption they'd be given one-year deals. Could have been given longer. Don't know.
Right. Yeah. So what you're saying is we don't know what...
I think we're making an assumption it's 2024. So you could release Lytton Chapman and Fraser Cookson according to the sheet that we're going to circulate. That will be your decision. I'm saying keep one and try and get rid of Liam Hogan.
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be people who agree with you.
What do you want to do with Harrison McGuy?
His contract's up. He's been here a long time. Yeah, I think it's time to go. I do think, though, that someone like Mickey Mellon might see him as an asset because he plays him all the time and he puts him into different... So I think that Mellon might offer him a contract extension.
He better hadn't. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying because like, he's...
He better hadn't because this is part of the problem. This is symptomatic of the problem. We've been playing... a centre-half who is synonymous with the sort of decline from the Lemzagam era, you know, into where we are now. synonymous with that. We need to move him on, get rid, start fresh, and stop playing a centre half in a defensive centre midfield. He talked yesterday, Mickey Mellon, about getting specialists in positions. Well, let's get a specialist in there instead of putting a rhomboid in a star shape. I'm sick of Harrison McGuy playing every week in a defensive centre midfield role. It is a nonsense.
I agree. I think it's time for him to move on. 100%.
Good. Dave agrees, so we're all in agreement on that. Jordan Windass, should we just move on?
He's out of contract, though, thankfully, so we know that's an obvious one.
We're all getting rid of him. Devon Green?
Devon Green is out of contract.
He is.
And we don't have anyone like Devon Green else in the squad, but I think we can do better, so I would move him on.
100%. Again, another player just like Harrison McGay for me. Got to move him on. Got to get better than that. So me, you, and Dave all agree with that. Ben Tollett.
Yeah, he's been out on loan.
At Chester.
Pretty much all season. He's out of contract. Let him go.
Agreed. We all agree with that. Dan Ward.
Dan Ward is under contract till 2025.
He is.
It's a difficult one because we haven't really seen enough of him being played. The temptation is to stick him on the transfer list. I just don't think anyone's going to come in for these players if we do. So he's a left-sided player, apparently. I've put keep because I don't think we've seen enough of him, to be honest. But he's also not impressed me greatly either. So... I pretty much just went through on the basis of keeping most of the players that were on the 2025 because I didn't think we'd be able to move them on and trying to build and just trying to work with them and get more out of them. But
well, if that's the position you end up in, that's the position you end up in. But I think at this point in time, if you're the manager, you've got to decide which ones you think you can work with and which ones you want to move on. And both myself and Dave are putting Dan Ward on the transfer list, and we see if we can move him on. I understand what you're saying.
I don't have a problem with that, by the way. I don't have a problem with that at all. We discussed this last time when we did this last season, that it's a tricky one because at some point he's going to have to, like with these players that are under contract, he's going to have to work with them. And if you put them on the transfer list and no one comes in, then you're back. You know, you've got to work with them again. You've got to try and get the best out of them. So it's a difficult position. You just have to hope that players like Dan Ward, in this instance, if he's put on the transfer list, wants to go and get football elsewhere, and he's prepared to take a drop down basically in stature and pay in order to get back out there playing, rather than just sitting here taking his wages.
Well, worst case scenario, is when you say to a player, he's on £2,000 a week at our place for the sake of argument, and he gets offered £1,000 a week somewhere else. He says, look, I don't want to leave. I've got another year's contract, £2,000 a week. I'm never going to get £2,000 a week again in my life. I want the money. You know, that's 50 grand a year that I'm going to lose. If you say to him, well, at the end of this year, you're not going to play for us. You're going to be worth £500 a week next year. So you're going to earn even less. So you do need to get football in order to keep yourself fit and an attractive proposition to other teams. How about we find a compromise position? You take the grand on offer from Club A and we'll give you £500 of the £1,000, meet you halfway for the course of the year. We've got to stump up, you know, £25,000 out of that in order to get rid of him. But that's better, presumably, than continuing to pay £2,000 a week for a player that's just going to, you know.
Yeah, but it's how many times you have to do that to offload, you know.
Well, we're gonna have to do it a few, I think. We might have to do it a few. Presumably, that was the type of compromise that we came to with John Rooney. Presumably, John Rooney's. We decided to go to Macclesfield, and we found a compromise position where he was happy to do that. We're probably going to have to try to do the same with one or two others. Whether that's Dan Ward, Liam Hogan, or others that we're going to come to, you know, for me, Dan Ward is. Remember, we met him when we went in to do the Unsworth interview. Nice lad, said hello to us. You know, lovely young boy. You couldn't really, you know, knock him at all. Wished him all the best. But for me, he's the poster boy of this season, one of the poster boys of this season, because of what the Gateshead podcast lad said to us when we told him, oh, we're signing your lad Dan Ward. And their attitude was, really? Oh, right. Like, I thought Oldham would have been in for better players than that. And you were like, oh, no. What are we doing? Like we knew early on, didn't we, that there were problems.
I just think we're going to really struggle to get rid of some of these lads, and I think maybe from sort of knowing where you're at with players, and you know, so just because someone has a bad season doesn't mean they're going to automatically have a bad season the next season either. So you know, with improvements to the squad, better players in and around them, and things like that. So, but yeah, look, if you two want a transfer list, him, stick him on the transfer list.
We do.
Fine with me.
Brennan Dickinson.
Yeah, you've absolutely got to let him go.
Yeah. Kofi Moore.
We saw him come on as a substitute before he got sent out on loan. Can't remember who it was against.
He's been on loan at Workington and at Guiseley, and he's made about 19 starts, 12 sub appearances, and scored 4 goals in the seventh tier across those two loans. He looks like one of our better prospects. We've got to keep some of these kids. Surely you keep Kofi Moore.
I don't know enough about them, and we don't know who they're going to be bringing in to sign contracts from this last season either, do we? Professional deals. So yeah. You know, because like if you can only have 24, you know, how many young lads do we gamble on? I don't know.
You've in a squad of 24, you've got to have about 4 or 6 in there that are young lads, aren't you? Otherwise, what's the point? You know, what's the point of bringing them through if you're just going to bin them all off every time and just get a load of journeymen in? You've got to try and blood some.
Well, yeah, but the, you don't have to bring journeymen in, do you? You can bring in younger players from other teams that have maybe played at National League or National League North, for example, and proven themselves at other clubs. That was supposed to be the model, bring players in. Look, we're not going to have, from next season, a youth academy. We're not going to be able to rely on these players anyway. So, you know, it's not a model we can rely on. So I think that, you know, is next season the season to be giving these players the experience that they need, or is it too crucial a season? So for me, unproven, untested young lads that are out of contract, let them go. So I've said let him go.
Well, both you and Dave have released Kofi Moore. I think that'll end up being a mistake, but fair enough.
I don't know. Look, if the club keep him and he turns out to be great, and you know, we were both wrong, well, I'll be delighted with that. Don't get me wrong.
Nathan Sheeran.
He was offered an extension, wasn't he?
Yeah, 2025.
So he's with us to 2025. He's not been playing, has he, of late, from Mickey Mellon. So whether that's because he already knows that he's going to be here next season, and Nathan Sheeran is one of those players that gives you everything, and I think we need players like that in the squad. He's not the best footballer, but he's the only midfielder who's chipped in with any goals this season. So I don't hate Nathan Sheeran. I think that with better players around him, he'd be a better player. He's under contract, so I say keep him.
Well, Dave said keep him, so we are going to keep him. I would transfer list him alongside Liam Hogan and Dan Ward in an instant because I want better players than this.
I want better players as well, mate. Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah.
We do get rid of transfer list. I think we're all unanimous that the next man on the list, Mark Shelton, is going on the list.
What are you doing with Mark Shelton then? He's got another year of his contract.
No, yeah, he's got. You have to put. This is what I'm saying though. You can put them all on the transfer list, but you're not going to get what you want from everybody. So you've got to try and focus on. If they're going on the transfer list, it has to be they're gone. They're either going out on loan for the entire season, doing what you said before, or they're getting paid up, but they have to go. And I don't. I that's why I think you've got to be limit sparing with how many of those players go on there, because I just don't think you're going to have a result. You know, because there are other players that we've not come onto yet that fall into this category. So, anyway, Shelton's definitely one of them.
Josh Lundstrom.
Josh Lundstrom has not delivered this season. He's with us till 2025. I do believe that there's a player in him. I don't think we're getting anywhere near the best out of him. I hope next season he can be a much better player for us, so I keep him.
Yeah, I'd keep him as well. But he has been the difference for me between Dan Ward and Josh Lundstrom is when we were talking to we're in a WhatsApp group of other podcasts in the Northwest, aren't we? And there's an Altrincham fan in there who eulogised about Josh Lundstrom, cracking player, will be good for Oldham, young lad, great player. Player of the season for Alti. That gives me hope that that he will turn it around in comparison to Dan Ward, where the Gateshead lads just weren't that impressed. You just imagine that the fans would have an idea about who their better players were. So, yeah, I hope he can get better, and maybe the step up to a larger club, I think, as Mickey Mellon has alluded to before, possibly has been difficult for him. So, yeah, we're all keeping him. Dan Gardner.
This is a tricky one.
No, it's not.
Because he's on his days by far one of our best midfielders.
His days aren't frequent enough.
He's out of contract and he's just... You can end up spending a lot of money on Dan Gardner for not doing anything in terms of wages. So unfortunately, reluctantly, I'm going to let Dan Gardner go.
Yeah, Dave says release. I say release. It's a unanimous release. I mean, yeah,
but it's a shame because I do like him and I think he's a good player. But he can be.
But he's only turned it on at the end here the last few games to try and win a new contract. Like that. That's how I'm looking at it. And he wasn't being picked before. He has his injuries. I think he's been playing through an injury because his contract's up. Like it irritates me a little bit that it's not. You cannot rely on Dan Gardner to give you 25 games a season like that. And when he has played in some games this season, he's been rubbish. So,
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I'm letting him go anyway.
Tom Conlon,
contract is the only one on here with a six on the end, which means he's going nowhere. So keep him.
I mean, he's the poster boy for the biggest disappointment of all of them for me.
So far this season, for sure.
Absolutely incredible how little effect he has had on the team since he's come in. Builders, a set-piece specialist, doesn't take set pieces. Like, stop taking them after the first couple of games. He doesn't seem to have any legs. Like, he can't. He's not an up-and-down a pitch midfielder, is he? He's not the greatest tackler. He's not spraying. I'm like, what is his attributes? I make an assumption with better players around him, we'll start to see something. But yeah, that for me is probably of all of them the biggest concern for Mellon, because Mellon has put a lot of emphasis on Conlon, I think, fixing the problems, and he hasn't. And I think that reflects on Mellon quite badly, that particular signing. But it's only one of a small number, but it's still not great. Ollie Hammond.
Ollie Hammond again. I keep him. He's under a contract for 2025. We haven't really seen enough of him. He's had some good games. He's come from Notts Forest. Presumably he's got some decent pedigree. So I don't think he's been one of the key problems in our midfield this season. So, but again, it's hard because do we need better than him? Well, possibly. But we don't have many young players in the squad. And so I think we keep him because he's under contract.
Yeah, I mean, I think you don't have any choice. You definitely keep him on the basis of him being a prospect. I found it peculiar that he's been in and out. You know, like, this is the thing that Mellon's done quite a bit, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Throwing him in, has a decent game, disappears for three games, throws him back in. You're like, just give the lad a run out. Like, you know, if you're going to back him, back him. Ethan Walker.
He's on loan, he's gone.
See ya. Hallam Hope.
Goodbye, Hallam Hope. he's had his time at Latics now, and it's time to move on.
Yeah, completely unanimous decision between me, you, and Dave. Kurt Willoughby.
Oh God,
my word. he's played about half a dozen games at Ayr, scored two in one game, then got injured or was sick for a few games. Like, it's another really, really weird signing by Unsworth and Thompson, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he's under contract. I think he's probably more likely one of the players that we could actually move on who's under contract. So I think with that in mind, I'd probably put him on the transfer list.
So me and you agree. I definitely transfer list him. He's a striker. Let's try and move him on. Much like for me, you know, the Hogans and the Wards of this world, Dave would keep him. Wish Dave was here now just to listen to that reasoning.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I think also maybe it depends on who else is released and things like that. But he's not proven in any of the games. He got plenty of game time, Willoughby. He just didn't do anything. But then you could argue the same about
he clearly wasn't good
other
enough
players. But no, I'd be happy to let him go.
Right, Mike Fondop.
Now I'm suspecting that you're going to let him go, Andy.
He's damn right. I am.
Because his contract's up. This is the thing we might fund up.
On we here, need I've, better players than that.
On here,
it's
I've ticked
the same as Sheeran and Hogan and everyone else. Stop clogging up the squad with players that are not going to.
I know, but you also need players that are like that are happy at where they're at and are going to fight for you. And I've got him down here as release, right, on my thing. And then yesterday he goes and he scores two goals and he shows what he can be about. And there's a bit of affection for Mike and. But I'll stick with what I've put down on here, which is release. I'll stick with that.
Yes, because Dave said keep and extend.
Well, so if you're going to keep, you're going to have to extend because his contract's up. So it's going to have to be at least a season. But look, I wouldn't be disappointed to have him next season if we can't bring better in. I think, look, at the end of the day, the next guy on the list is Joe Nuttall, right?
Yeah,
and we're going to struggle to get rid of Joe Nuttall.
it's got to be transfer list.
It's got to be transfer list, but I think it's going to be a very, very difficult ask to get rid of him.
It might be. But we've got to try. It's pointless just going. I don't think he'll move on. So no.
Agreed. I'd rather it was Fondop that extra season than Nuttall is what I'm saying. It is what it is. This comes down to another one, Alex Reid. So he's contracted next season. You might as well stick him on the transfer list because he effectively is already anyway. So
I'm in agreement with you. Dave says keep.
Well, the thing is we might be forced to. But
I think Dave seems to like Alex Reid. He kind of again, I wish he was here so we could get into it. He seems to sort of have a pop at Mellon for not playing him. But I think Alex Reid has. I assume that the thing that Mellon was referring to in his interview yesterday about there are other things that are going on, I've never spoken about them before, and then he doesn't explain what the other thing is. I think that other thing relates to Alex Reid. That's me putting a join in the dots. So I think it's, you know, stuff going on in the background that's a distraction to manage. So I think that's what is being referred to. I just think that it's, you know, we're going to have to move him on if we can.
Well, obviously, there's a huge downturn. I mean, Mickey Mellon had a go at Alan for asking him about, you know, I can't remember the exact word, but the collapse of the season. And Alan was dead right to use that word. Mickey Mellon was really defensive, but the season did collapse. Him and his team are responsible for that. Something's gone on. There's something not right within the camp because the results and the performances have been absolutely shocking. So if there are players in there that are sort of involved in any kind of divide with the manager, look, at the end of the day, regardless of whatever we feel about the manager, if he's going to be there next season, he's the manager and he's the one who has to command respect from the players and they have to toe his line, not the other way around. So, if he feels that he's being undermined by any particular player, they have to go. So, yeah, and again, like you said, there's better strikers out there ultimately than Alex Reid.
Yeah, so I'm transfer listing Andrew Dallas.
He's on loan. He's not scored a goal. He's gone.
Isn't it amazing what an enormous disappointment he's been?
Yeah, amazing, but absolutely not a surprise based on the whole season, you know, and our recent history. So
I just think that this is a guy that scored a bag load of goals for Solihull and Chesterfield last season. You know, was on fire. He's got bags of pace, likes the ball in behind, likes to run onto it and finish. And we've not played to his strengths at all. We've played it into his head, into his feet, stuck him on a wing, not played him up front. No one to win the flick on for him to run onto, no balls into it through the lines into space. You're not played to the boy's strength at all. He's been abject when he's played. So yeah. his first touch, I've been astounded how poor it's been for a professional footballer. It bounces
well,
off
League One footballer, allegedly, because that's where that's his parent club. But again, when you put it like that, Andy, it does make you question the manager and how he's setting his team up and the consistency in that, you know what I mean? And that's where the question marks around Mellon are coming in, because, you know, we've all got friends who are Latics fans and we talk about this stuff a lot. And a lot of our friends and fans, you know, don't think that Mellon has done a good job this season with the players that he's got. And ultimately, when you look at the way that the season's farted out, you know, with a whimper, you have to agree. We were in a great position. And it's really just collectively, I mean, these players have let the club and themselves down, I think.
I imagine that conversation that he's been last 2 weeks now, he's referenced that filed away game, hasn't he? Mm. And I can't imagine he's going to reference that filed away game if he didn't genuinely have a conversation with the likes of Dan Royal and the board at the time, so in his second game. To say, by the way, that is a massive worry. What I've just seen out there professionally, I am very, very concerned about and could have enormous repercussions as this season progresses. He must have said that, because he wouldn't be coming out now and claiming that if he hadn't said it. If he has said that and they've listened, then he's in a position where he's been proven correct, right? So I've tried to get the best out of them. I've got us in the playoffs for a bit, but this lot, right, might be nice lads, but they're just not up to it. It's kind of like him being proved right a little bit. So I think you've got to look at that and say, if you were the board, you know, he called it early. He knew early that there was a problem. I think that's where you've got to give him time to put it right and not get on his back now. Yes, he hasn't got the best out of Andrew Dalasson's few other players, but might be because of the squad. Can I just bring you on to the next name on the list, which is James Norwood?
slightly controversial figure currently. What did I put? I put keep because he should be the, you know, you're talking about needing better players and all that. He should be that type of player. I would also not be bothered to see him go on the transfer list and get down some of that massive money that he's on. So what did you put?
we're all unanimous. I would keep without any shadow of a doubt. James Norwood is our best footballer. Now, is he a bit mercurial? Is he a bit of a, is he a bit of a prima donna? Maybe. Right. Mellon knows him better than anyone else, managed him at Tranmere, got the best out of him, so should be able to do the same again here. If James Norwood had played in Chesterfield's team this year, he'd have got 25 goals. If you look at, I don't believe that James Norwood is a worse player than Paddy Madden, right? Remember Paddy Madden at Scunthorpe, went to Stockport and scored?
Yes.
Paddy Madden scored like something like 3 hat-tricks in the last fortnight for Stockport. Yeah. James Norwood's a better player than Paddy Madden, in my opinion. But Paddy Madden's scoring all these goals because he's playing in a team surrounded by better footballers who create chances, and he's just on a rich vein of form. Stick James Norwood in a better team, score you 20 to 30 goals a season, no problem.
If he's good for the... Look, if, of all the other issues, we talked about issues behind the scenes and squads and stuff like that. So that's, let's say, we base all this based on our very limited knowledge. I want to keep the players that are good for this club and are good for this team. And they're going to play for the manager, going to play for the fans and all that stuff, so, and give 110% every game. So that's up to the managers to decide. But I think we're potentially taking a step backwards if we get rid of our best chance of scoring goals. Having said that, the guy has not scored in open play since December and hasn't really looked anywhere near the kind of player he's supposed to be. So you can blame all the players around him for that, but he has to take some responsibility for it as well, because you know he was scoring goals in open play before December and that's all stopped. So he's part of the failure of this squad as much as anybody else is. So you can't blame it on, you know, one player or another. It's collective responsibility. So yeah, I put keep initially, so I'm going to stick to that.
Get the best out of him, right? That's what we should be trying to do here, not moan about it. Jake Forshaw scored 800 goals in the U team 2 seasons ago. Everyone was really excited about him. I think there were concerns, and I'm not sure he was going to get a contract this time last year. It wasn't certain. He was given one anyway. He's been on loan to Guiseley and somewhere else, Ossett United, both in the seventh tier, I think. And both of them have returned him quick smart. So he's lasted a game, been on the bench once, played one game, sent back. I think that possibly tells you something.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's my thing has been get this squad down, make as many cuts as you can as quickly as possible so that you've got the room to bring in other players. If he's not proven, I get rid of him.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement with that one. And then the final one on the list is Joe Garner.
So out of all the strikers that we started the season with and brought in, we've got rid of them all now by James Norwood. I think Joe Garner possibly done enough to keep, I think, as an experienced striker. I don't mind him. I think there's a bit of something about him. So based on the fact that we've got rid of all of our other strikers.
Well, we transfer listed him.
Yeah, but I'll keep him. I'll keep him.
Yeah, we're all in agreement. I'm not sure I'd have ever have signed him. I'll say that now. 36-year-old striker, when you've got a 34-year-old James Norwood, I'm not sure I'd have ever done it. But we have, and I think he possibly has something to offer and give. So, yeah, keep him for a season. But I certainly wouldn't imagine I'd want to keep him beyond that. Okay, so we've gone through the 37 players. I think we have kept or we have retained 19 of those 37. So
that's actually the number that I had on my own, actually, was 19. Yeah,
so we've kept 19 of the 37. I'm not sure I'd have come up with that 19 as we've ended up with. We'll release what we've come up with. Of those 19, we have got 6 on the transfer list. So that means we've got 13 that we're active for keeping, 6 that we're trying to get rid of. And that means we've currently got a squad of 5 players that we can recruit. Because if you've got to keep it 24, you've got to keep it 24. So we've got 5 players we can bring in. And I would genuinely be looking to keep at least 3-4 of the kids, if it were me. I'd be keeping Kofi Moore. I'd be trying to keep Alfie Atherton from the current crop. I'd probably keep one of Lytton Chapman or Mo Doro. Do you know what I mean? So if you do want to keep some of the young lads, you're almost at your squad of 24 now. And that's kind of what I think Mickey Mellon was saying yesterday, isn't it? Is we're already over budget. In terms of the budget for another season in this division, we've spent it already.
So, look, and we don't necessarily have to keep the younger lads, but I get what you're saying. So I don't want to end this podcast, which is the last podcast of the season, right? And we've got the phone in on Wednesday, so everyone can share their own views and agree or disagree or whatever. But I don't want to end this season by saying next season's going to be a bit of a consolidation season, if you like, where, you know, we've run out some more contracts, where, you know, we're looking almost ahead to the season after. But that's kind of a little bit how it feels. You know, is there any point in keeping James Norwood in a squad that is going to be as bang average as this season's squad, or should we try and get some money for him, get rid of his wages, and you know, try and use them a bit better? Because what you're saying there is, we're really not going to have much. The squad isn't going to have improved. You want to increase his supply line, but you've got absolutely nothing to increase it with.
Well, those are decisions that he might have to come to when he's reviewing it. But for me, you've got to be trying to get rid of. These are the ones that we've agreed. I'd have done more. We've got Liam Hogan, Dan Ward, Mark Shelton, Kurt Willoughby, Joe Nuttall and Alex Reid, all on transfer list. We've got to try to move them on first before you get rid of James Norwood. What's the point of getting rid of James Norwood and not trying to move those players on first? You've got to try to get rid of those first. For me, I'd be getting rid of Sheeran as well, and maybe one or two others. But I think we've got to look to try and get better players in.
But that, yeah, that's it.
I mean, the only way to do it.
That's a case of trying to get rid of, though, isn't it? That's the key word. It's not guaranteed. So there's the potential for, you know, a number of those players to be fringe, sitting around, maybe out on loan. The likes of Nuttall, can't see us getting him out on loan for a whole season next season, based on his performance in League One this season and his performances for us before that. So yeah, it's going to be difficult. It's a difficult thing to manage, but ultimately what we need is a manager bringing in players to play in a system and a style of football that he wants, that are blended together and work as a team. People have been saying, he was saying that we're unbalanced. So whoever it is going to have to bring in players that work together. And a manager's going to have the time to develop that. Mickey Mellon style of football, you know, did you see the Bunch of Amateurs documentary with Mark White? They're just going to go along. Is Mickey Mellon going to build a team next season that, you know, in as much as whatever he can to go along? And that we haven't got players that suit that system now. So are those the players that he's going to bring in? How is he going to balance this squad? Could we potentially keep footballers like Dan Ward, Josh Lundstrom, who played in footballing teams next season, and try and get them to play football? This is the challenge. We spoke a lot about it, but whether or not we'd be better off trying to go down the director of football route and have a longer term plan where we're bringing through young players like that and saying, look, okay, for example, your Kofi Moores and whoever else, they're not necessarily going to be the player next season, but we think that in two or three seasons, or you know, two seasons, for example, if we play a certain way of football, they're going to work and we're going to bring in other players. Have we maybe gone a bit too quickly, in your opinion, Andy, for the promotion? Did we have no choice? Should we have just slowed down a bit and started bringing in certain types of footballers to see us have an identity in three seasons? Or did we need to sort of gamble, and has that gamble failed? But was it the right thing to do? What's your assessment of where we are now and how the last two seasons under the new owners has gone?
I mean, we had to have a go at getting out in 2 years in order to keep the academy as it was, to try and get back to the increased amount of money that the Football League offers. We had to have a go. There's no doubt about it. The problem is that the gamble around the managerial appointment of David Unsworth and the recruitment strategy around it failed. You only have to look at those players that were trying to move on here. Mark Shelton, Kurt Willoughby, Joe Nuttall, Alex Reid. These are all players signed during that time. Like you said right at the start, I'm not blaming David Unsworth entirely. I'm not blaming Mickey Mellon. I'm not blaming Steve Thompson. But they've all contributed somewhere to putting together a pretty bad squad. Now, you've got to give somebody some time at some stage. So it's pointless going through the whole merry-go-round again. Mickey Mellon's done it before. Give him time. You might have to accept. See, this is the bit where I come back to where you said, you know, it was that comment, is Mickey Mellon the future of Oldham Athletic? And then you get pulled up on it. I think what we were debating on that particular episode was, should we go down the modern, young, progressive youth coach, a bit like Williamson was at Gateshead?
Yeah, long-term planning, basically, trying to get somebody in who's going to be consistent and steady at the club and build something over a period of time.
Yeah.
Question marks, was Mellon that man?
Yeah, or like Notts County had gone with the sort of, you know, funky new age manager. The reason I think that we're all happy to get behind Unsworth is we assumed Unsworth was probably that man because he'd come from a youth background. It turned out that he wasn't in the same vein. And now we've gone to a bit more tried and tested. So I think we just got to back it and wait. And so to answer your question, how do you assess the first 2 years? Look, I'm not worrying about whether people are getting paid. I'm not worried about whether the club's about to go out of business or not. I'm not worried about whether HMRC are going to, you know, shut us down. I'm not worried about... Do you remember the season when Simon Corney had 6 professional footballers signed 1 week before kickoff? That was it. Like, I'm not worried about those sorts of... Was it Steve Robinson? Yeah. We don't have to worry about nonsense like that anymore.
I'm going to cut across you now as the voice of the fans listening who are saying, yeah, we've got a club, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we get all that. But we want success on the pitch right now. And this season has been massive fail and blah, 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 you know, because that's basically there's kind of two sides to the fan base, isn't there? There's the
28 of the last 30 have been failure. Like, it's just on what scale of failure it is. Like, it doesn't, you know, I was about to say nobody's died, but some people actually have died. There were people in the program yesterday who passed away this year. That's more important. Like, you know, it's just football at the end of the day. So long as we've got stability, and so long as we can back our club, and we know that they're not, you know, you're not putting money into a scoreboard fund that Simon Corney's spending on whatever he wants. You know, none of that nonsense is going on anymore. We've got a club that's being run properly. And it will come good. We just got to give it time and be patient.
Have you seen that Chesterfield post from All When the Blues? Brad tweeted it out this morning. I don't know. You might have seen it anyway on All When the Blues. I don't go on there, but basically, just sort of saying, look, just because you're a big fish in a small pond doesn't give you a divine right to be able to get out of that pond easily. They had a lot of that kind of the same kind of attitude within their fan base that we've got, that just because we're Oldham Athletic and we're playing Altrincham and Solihull Moors, we should be turning them over. He said this Chesterfield fan saying, well, that's not the way it works. It takes time to adapt to the league. It takes time to get your squad right for this league because it's different than what you used to. Blah, blah, blah. And we've got new owners and everything is changing. So there is patience is required. It's not something that all human beings are blessed with. They say patience is a virtue. You know, unfortunately, you know, we've been through a lot and all that, and it does affect our thinking. It does affect our attitude and everything. But I agree with you. I think that we have to be grateful that we are in the position we are now, in the fact that we are slowly repairing the damage that's been done to this football club over a very long period of time. I hope that the board and the people running the club are learning the lessons very, very quickly, because it's all on them, ultimately. You know, we talk about the manager merry-go-round. It's up to them whether they're going to stick with Mellon, whether they're going to have belief in him, whether they're going to back him in the right ways. It's, as fans, our football club has come under a new level of scrutiny over the last 5-6 years because of everything that has happened, and also because we've had social media and everything else. So everything that happens now is scrutinized on a level that wasn't there before. The new owners are being looked at and judged and assessed and commented on in ways that I think even, you know, the previous owners and the owners before them ever were, because we've you know, and we're part of that, having set up the podcast and you know, the other stuff that we've been doing. There is a sharper focus on it, but I like people to have integrity and try and stick to their guns and do what they believe is the right thing to do. And I believe that the people running the club at the minute are trying to do their best. And I think if people are trying to do their best, we need to try and get behind them. They'll make mistakes. Managers will make mistakes. Players will make mistakes. It happens. But let's not be waiting for them to make those mistakes so that we can jump on their back and put even more pressure on them. Next season, maybe expectations will be a bit lower. Maybe there'll be a few less people in the crowd because people aren't buying the season tickets. Maybe next season.
I think next season, if you've got a season ticket this year, you've got to buy one next year. The club need it more so next year than at any other time because they're losing income. So you've got to back your club. If you want to give them the best chance of getting out of this division, you've got to buy a season ticket if you can. If you can afford to do so, please do. I'll be buying 5 season tickets again, and only 2 of those are getting used regularly. The other 3 spots sparingly, but nonetheless, I'm still buying them because I want to back the owners, and support the manager and give them everything they can to try and get us up.
It's the same thing's going to happen year in and year out. Every season is going to be our biggest season since the last one. You know, this is a big season coming up, and we all want better. We all want more. But I'll be absolutely honest, Andy, I'm delighted that this one is now over. I would like to make an announcement about the trophy chest event. I have decided to knock it on the head. I think I can't be asked organising it. And I think that the general mood is that the season's over. Let's draw a line under it. And, you know, I want to let the players, the club, the manager, I don't want to be getting anyone involved in it. I don't feel like there's much to celebrate. I don't feel like it's been a very good season. I think last season when we did the event at the end of the season, there was a sense of we've made it beyond all the crap that we were going through. And, you know, there was a bit of optimism towards this season and it was a great event. This one, it's been a struggle to get to this point and I don't really want to have to drag the season out any longer by doing an event on the 18th of May. It was on the 18th of May because we was hoping that we might get to Wembley. so we gambled on that. It's not paid off. So if you bought a ticket, you'll get an email and then we'll sort refunds out. But yeah, so that's that. The season is over, thank goodness. And the podcast is over for another season. 35 times we've done this season, Andy.
Yeah,
it's hard work, isn't it?
It is hard work, actually. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to a break.
I know. Yeah, so we'll have the phone in on Wednesday. You can all get in touch with us on there and let us know how you're feeling. Let's have some calls. This, you know, if you've never phoned up, phone up. That's what it's all about. Especially if you're one of the people that likes to give us stick on Twitter. Be a big boy or a big girl and pick the phone up and come and have a chat with us because it's much better to do it that way. We'll reconvene, Andy, before the start of next season to a look at how our recruitment has gone and for us to do our prediction, prediction episode. So we go from the squad pod at the end of this season to the prediction episode. I think we were all way off.
I said third.
Yeah, I think I said third as well. So Mark White was the closest. He said eighth.
Eighth, yeah.
We finished 10th. But it's a top 10 finish, Andy. It's our first top 10 finish in 411 years, so that's not bad. Yeah. So
the other thing that my cousin said to me, last year we finished 12th, but for a long period of time we were near the bottom of the league, weren't we? We were in the relegation zone, like in January or something, and that comes off the back of nearly being relegated every single year for nearly 10 consecutive years beforehand or whatever. She was like, I know it doesn't seem much, but at no stage have I ever been looking at the bottom of the table this year. And that feels like a first.
Well, like, apart from the first 9 games, Andy.
Well, yeah.
So that's not actually true, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, we did have our eyes on the playoffs for the first time in a long time. And the end of this season has been an unmitigated disaster. It's been a collapse, Mickey, regardless of how you want to try and spin it. But it is what it is. It's over. You're yawning there, Andy. So I'm going to take that as a sign that it's time to wrap this show up. But if you've listened to all 35 episodes of the podcast, thank you very much. We appreciate your support, and we hope that you are as eager to enjoy the Euros as and the summer as we are, and we wish you all a very happy summer. Andy, thanks for stepping in last week and doing a great job. It was great to listen to the podcast just as a listener for one episode this season, so that was great. Thank you very much. And we'll see you all in the summer, late summer, as we reset and go for, I'm going to say promotion, Andy, but let's finish on a high as we go for promotion in the 24-25 season. Thank you for listening to the Boundary Park Alert System, a QPod production hosted and produced weekly by Matt Dean, Andy Halliwell and Dave Bradley. QPod is Oldham's only dedicated podcast production company, and if you'd like to learn more about how podcasting can help take your brand to the next level, visit kupod.co.uk. A huge thank you goes to all those people who subscribe to the podcast on Spotify. We really appreciate you all. Please visit oafcpodcast.co.uk and click be a supporter or find the link in the show notes if you'd like to help us fund the show. It's only $2.99 per month to subscribe, but if you'd rather make a one-off donation, please visit buymeacoffee.com/OAFC podcast or click the link on our website. Don't miss the Latics football phone-in every Wednesday live from 8:30 p.m. Please visit youtube.com/@OAFC podcast and do hit subscribe while you are there. You can also follow and interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and TikTok at OAFC podcast. Big thanks go to Eileen Finnegan for writing our excellent weekly blog, which we encourage you to read on our website every Saturday morning, and also to Paul Prendergast for providing us with all the Latics Mind questions. The title music for the show is by Manchester DJ and producer Starion, and for more information visit bandcamp.com/Red Laser Records. If you'd like to be a guest or contribute to the show, we would love to hear from you. Until then, see you next time.